Scripture. And by the way, do you know only 10% of Christians have a biblical worldview? Can you hear me? 10% of Christians, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1 out of 10 have a biblical worldview. Do you know how you're going to contain a biblical worldview? By reading from Genesis to Revelation. I mean, it don't just come by just getting one little verse here, one little verse here. And so our goal is to get in the Word of God and be men of God and women of God to understand the Word of God. Therefore, we know what the end, not only the end, but right now, how it affects us today. And so I want to encourage you today that as we study this subject, that it's not just pie in the sky and it's not just something that's irrelevant and it's not just something that has no practical application. Because when you really begin to study the things that are going to come hereafter, it absolutely will change your life because then you become a better witness. Do you believe that? I believe that as we study the coming of the Lord and what God's Word has already been fulfilled in the past and it is being fulfilled in the present and it will indeed be fulfilled in the future. You know, a lot of people, when you start talking about the end time, they get a glazed look on their face and it's like they're almost about ready to fall out. But wait a minute, even Paul addressed a church who had only been there 3 weeks. I mean, it was a young Christians. We need to know what the Scripture teaches. Can I get an amen? Amen and amen. I believe in the hereafter. One man put it this way. He told me, you know you've heard it. He said, I go from room to room wondering what I'm hereafter. I can relate to that a little bit. Can I tell y'all something? When you're around older people a lot, you got to learn to laugh. How many know you got to learn to laugh a little bit? As you get older and as you're around older people, you need to smile and you need to laugh a little bit. Why? Because the Scripture says a merry heart do good like medicine. Now, I know I have to be selective in things that I share with you. And trust me, if I shared everything that I wanted to share with you, it would just absolutely baffle you. But anyway, so I do indeed try to filter out things that I'm sharing. But I believe I can have liberty to share this with you. One of our men, an older man, a senior adult, told me this story. He said, preacher, did you hear about the two old men that are sitting outside a nursing home and they're well up in age and they've got, you know, the canes and so forth? And he said, this older man in the church, I'm not going to call his name anyway, he's telling me this. He said, two ladies came walking by them, two elderly ladies who were at this particular nursing home, and they were trying to get the two men's attention. But the two men didn't even pay any attention to them. They were just looking around. And so the lady said, well, what can we do to get their attention? Once the lady said, I know what we'll do. We'll take our clothes off and put on bikinis and run past them. And so that's what they did. They took their clothes off, put on bikinis, and ran past the men. One man looked at the other man. He said, did you see what I just saw? He said, yes, I think I did. He said, those two ladies just came by us. He said, did you see what kind of clothes they had on? And the other man said, I sure did, and it sure was wrinkled. Sure didn't need ironing. I messed that up. But anyway, one of our older men said that. It's all right to smile, by the way, even if it was a stupid joke, and even though Pastor Randy messed it up, you need to laugh, amen, because you're stressed out to the max. And because and people around you, by the way, when you're stressed out like I am quite often, people, you know, there's two kinds of people, those who have ulcers and those who give ulcers. And you might be one who give ulcers because you're an old... My wife every once in a while tells me, said, honey, don't be a fuddy-duddy and a stick in the mud. Look at your neighbor and say, neighbor, don't be a stick in the mud. Don't be a stick in the mud. It's all right to have fun in life. Jesus took the little children, enjoyed life, and we can get real serious, and I am, and I'm a serious person. But let me just venture in to say this. Y'all remember old Brother Fred? I remember old Brother Fred. Nancy Watson, old Brother Fred, you've heard me say it before. One time, Brother Fred came up to me. He said, Brother Pastor, you know that senior adults are the number one carriers of AIDS. He had a serious look on his face. He had that old gangster hat that he used to wear. How many of y'all remember Brother Fred? A buddy, that rascal, I miss old Brother Fred. He said, Pastor, you know, and he came right up to me. It was in one of our senior adult recognition services. He looked at me, he said, number one carriers of AIDS. And this is back a few years ago. I said, wow, I'm taken back by that. I didn't know that statistic, Brother Fred. And they looked at me and said, Rolaids, Band-Aids, and hearing aids, all right? I said, you got a point there, brother. Hey, the hereafter. Do you know what's going to happen the hereafter? Can you name the five major events that are going to happen hereafter? Can you name them without looking at your Bible? Can you name them right now to me? Do you know what they are? I tell you today, after the service, you're going to know them. And by the way, those four major apocalyptic books that I was telling you about that you need to know of, you know what they are? Can you name them? Sure you can. Daniel, Zechariah, Revelation, and Ezekiel. Those are the four major books. Now, did you get those down? Because you need to know them. Why? Because if you want to study the end time, which, by the way, you know what? It opens a platform. Brother Chris, we're talking about witnessing. I'm telling you, the lost world wants to talk about end time things. Why? They're watching TV. They see what's going on with Russia. By the way, did you see China just the other day has joined Russian forces? They had a military exercise, Russia, China, and Mongolia, last week for the first time in years and years and years. You say, so what? Well, keep your eye on Syria. Keep your eye on things going. I know we're detached from that stuff here in America because we're inundated by American news. Isn't it sad that every time you turn the news on, somebody's throwing mud at President Trump? I need somebody to help me today. Y'all don't want to talk to me today? Aren't you sick and tired of all the political stuff that's and the Mickey Mouse stuff that goes on in our world? I don't know if you are, but I am. And we need to pray. We need to pray for those in authority. We need to have our old-fashioned, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival. And by the way, here's where we're going in the message today. These five major events we're talking about, it's relevant, it's practical. As we anticipate the coming of the Lord, it changes our life. And furthermore, there's lost people I know, and you probably know too, who would not give you the time of day when it comes to studying the Bible. But if you start putting pieces together what the Bible says about what's going to take place in the end time, namely the Gog and Magog battle, namely the Battle of Armageddon, you start dealing with some of these subjects, it can be an open door to share with somebody about Jesus and be prepared to meet God. That's the ultimate aim. In fact, I'll be honest with you, as the Lord led me in this particular study right now in the area of Bible prophecy, that was the motive. Not to brag or boast about you know this or that, but rather be the best equipped we can be. How many of y'all want to be the best equipped you can be? That's our goal. Lord, we want to be useful. How many want to make your life count? I mean, really make your life count. Well, if you really want your life to count and not just occupy space, then we've got to be people of the book. Amen, Pastor, I agree. If y'all don't say amen, I'm going to say amen because I know it's true. Amen. And we need to be people of the book. I love you, but I'm telling you, the average Christian, the Bible sits on the shelf. They throw it in the car, on the coffee table after church. Don't read it during the week. Why? Business, this and that and other. And I'm just encouraging you that it's not a legalistic thing. Man, I got to have it. I got to talk with my Lord in prayer. And by the way, people are still lost without God, and they need hope, and our hope is in Jesus, period. That's our only hope. And you got the message, and you got the truth, and you got the good news, and I've got the good news. And it's, bless the Lord, time to tell the world. Amen, and amen, and amen. Are you telling the world? Why aren't you telling the world? Well, I want to encourage you today. You need to tell the world. Number one, when is this event called the Great Evacuation going to take place? Number two, not only when is it going to take place, but why is the tribulation going to take place? What is the purpose of the tribulation? Number three, what about the mighty revelation when Christ comes again? Don't worry about it. You don't have to get them right now. I'll get them on the screen in a moment. And then number four, where is the 1,000 years of celebration? And where's that going to be? And then number five, how about the final destination? I want you to take your Bibles and turn to the book of Revelation chapter 1. I want to use one verse today as we get into text, and I want to encourage you and challenge you as I want to be encouraged and challenged in this matter of being ready and in this matter of the hereafter. The hereafter. That's what we're talking about today. If there's ever a message of hope, this is it. If there's ever in all of our confusion and all of our distractions and all of our troubles and all of our trials, our heartaches, things we don't understand and problems and how many know you've gotten in your car and you turned your key on your car and didn't crank? Well, that's what happened to me this morning. That's what's happened with the car. You turn it over and it won't crank. Man, how many know that'll bless you when you get in your car and it won't crank? Well, praise the Lord anyway. And then sometimes it cranks and sometimes it doesn't. How many know that'll bless you? That's real good news, isn't it? When you go somewhere, you know what I'm talking about, Alice. Your car was stranded over in Eatonton not long ago. And had it not been for a husband that would get up under a car and look from the front to the back bumper and diagnose everything and not start putting parts on it, but find this a little wire, if I'm not mistaken, was the problem. Praise God that God knows how to fix problems. Amen. You got a problem today? You do, don't you? And you're sitting here today. You're saying, Pastor, I know about all this end time stuff, but I've got a problem. I can't pay my bills, my son and daughter. Well, look, if we get right with God and we get our hearts focused on the things of God, I'm telling you, the Lord is going to pull you through and give you victory. It's all about being right with the Lord. It's all about having a love relationship with Jesus. It's all about knowing not only the past, the present, but even the future, because that's what keeps us looking up. That's what keeps us encouraged. I can't tell you the times I've been down and discouraged, and because of things going on in our life. Like some of you today, you're down, you're discouraged. You've got the mully grubs. You've been walking around whining maybe like I do at times. But God is telling you today, hey, he's still in control. Amen and amen and amen. And that's what the book of Revelation, and that's what this message is all about, that we can depend upon our God. He hadn't let us down. Thank God he is faithful. Amen and amen. That's what I text Josh this morning. He texted me about 6:30 this morning and said, Pastor, I'm studying on. I'll be there shortly. And the Lord had me to text you back. Say, God is faithful. How many believe God is faithful? We ought to have a shouting spell right there. Somebody say, thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness. I know you didn't come to church thinking you're going to praise the Lord, but God's saying you need to praise him anyway. You don't need to sit there and think it's, my problems and all my cares. Yes, cast all your care upon the Lord, because he cares for you. If you believe God's a big God, a mighty God, a sovereign God, a great God, we ought to thank him for who he is. Yes, we ought to. We really ought to. We bless you, Lord. And at times I have to say, Lord, I'm sorry that I don't give you praise. Don't you feel that way sometimes? I'm sorry, Lord, that I just whine and complain, look at my problems instead of looking how great you are. We're looking at the book of Revelation today. We're in chapter 1. Are you there? If you are, you can stand to your feet, because all I'm going to read is one verse. It's found in verse 19. Write the things which you've seen and the things which are, and the things which shall be hereafter. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the power of the gospel, your gospel, the good news that Christ died for our sins and was buried. And the third day, you came up out of the grave with the keys to death and hell, and you live forevermore, and you give us life, and you give us victory. And you told us, Father, that in the world, Jesus, we'll have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world, and whatsoever is born of God is that overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world. And so I know, Father, the tiredness and the fatigue and the not knowing and the stress and the anxiety and the not knowing about exactly what's going to happen tomorrow can cause us to stoop and cause us to bend over. But you told us in your word that men's hearts would be failing them for fear, and that's why we should look up, Jesus, you said, look up, because our redemption draws nigh. I believe your word, Lord, and the church said. I really do, Father. I believe it, whether anybody else believes it or not. I pray, God, you'll help our unbelief today. You'll help us from being dull in spirit. And Father God, the word of God will be quickened in our heart. It will raise us up. It'll give us joy unspeakable, full of glory. It's because you are in your word, and your word is truth, and we need you. And we thank you that you are on your throne. Your kingdom's an everlasting kingdom. And we ask now for the mighty visitation from the living God to refresh our hearts and revive our souls and strengthen our hands, that we might get back in the battle, because you said they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. And so God, I confess, I need a mighty infusion of divine life from above. Lord, I cannot carry on. I cannot function without your amazing grace and without your filling of your Holy Spirit. So Lord, take this empty vessel, take this piece of clay, take this unworthy servant, take us, God, as your people, and mold us and make us, and give us a heart for you, to love you, to be sold out to you, to be full of faith, hope, and love, to be cleansed with the blood of the Lamb, to, Lord, keep marching forward as your blood-stained banner of the cross goes forth. And, oh, Father, these days, our God, we need need a double portion of your Spirit. And I pray, Father, just being here today, that you'd meet with us in a special, supernatural, extraordinary way. And burdens will be lifted and strongholds will be demolished. And Father God, oh Jesus, you have the glory and the preeminence. Help us to yield. Help us to surrender. Help us to, dear Lord, break free from idols. Break free from complacency. Break free from lukewarmness. Break free from distractions and worldliness. Oh God, I pray you'll give us an audience with you today. You'll wash us clean. You'll, dear Lord, do in us and do through us everything you will to do. And when all said and done, we'll thank you, because you're the only true living God. You're our only hope. You're our joy, and you're our peace, and you're our victory, and you're our eternal life. And without you, we can do nothing. But oh, Father, in you, with you, and through you, we have victory. I pray you'll lift up our heads today. I pray you'll lift up our spirits today. I pray you'll bring sunshine in our soul today. I pray you'll cause us to walk with the joy of the Lord in our as our strength. I pray, Father, you'll release your power, and we'll give you glory, because there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. In a lost and dying world, desperately is depressed and duped and deceived by the devil. I pray, God, the gospel, the good news, the light of the Lord Jesus would shine in this neighborhood and shine. And, oh, Father, go up and down the roads of Jackson Lake and Highway 11 and 212 and in Jasper County and Newton County and Butch County and Putnam County and Lord Conyers over in Rockdale County and Father Henry County, and God extending out Georgia and throughout this nation of ours and unto the uttermost parts of the earth. And Father God, it'll be worth it all. I pray you'll help us to be faithful. I pray, God, for soldiers right now. I pray for Lord Christians right now that have gathered together today here at New Rocky Creek, that are feeling fatigue and feeling like quitting and feeling like giving up and feeling like failures. Oh, Father God, breathe new life in us. Breathe, our Lord, your mighty power in us. And God, raise us up for such a time as this. And we'll thank you. We'll praise you for it, because our God, you're a great God and greatly to be praised. And the people of God said, amen and amen and amen. You may be seated. Oh, bless the Lord. In the book of Revelation, chapter 1, verse 19, we find out that John said, write the things which you see, write the things that are, write the things which shall be hereafter. And so, what is the hereafter? One, the first hereafter is this, namely, you can see it. When is the great evacuation going to take place? These are the five parts that I want you to learn today. Number one, what is the next event on God's calendar? I believe in what we call the imminency. Imminency. Say that word with me. Imminency. Say it again. Imminency. I didn't scare you by praying, did I? Some of you look like y'all are scared today. You don't have to be scared of the Holy Ghost. Let me say it again. You don't have to be scared of the Holy Ghost. No, no, don't be afraid when we pray. That's what Jesus said. My Father's house should be called a house of, and we believe that right here. And that's what the church is built upon, prayer and the Word of God. Anyway, just a side note. So, again, the next event, the imminent return of our Lord, meaning it can happen any moment. I believe that personally. I don't want to get into all the details. I don't have time, actually, today to talk about it, other than saying Paul addressed this issue in the book of Thessalonians. Again, he had only been there a few weeks, and yet these baby Christians, how many long have y'all been saved over a year? Let me see your hand. How many over 5 years? How many over 10 years? How many over 20 years? All right. How many under a year? Under a year. All right. Just one. Just one. Thank you. And 3 weeks. He'd been there 3 weeks. Three-week-old Christians. It's like a baby taken to the nursery. But he wanted him to learn about this in time. Isn't that interesting? When I discovered that, I thought, wow, are you serious? Why? Because this message is a message of hope. It's a message that will keep you motivated serving the Lord. And Paul put it this way, I would not have you be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, by the way, the word asleep there is the word komeo, which we get our word cemetery. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Say that with me. Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Say it again. I can't hear you. Some of you don't want to say it, do you? You just determined you're not going to do what Pastor Randy asked you to do. Anyway, I love you. Anyway, but the reason I'm asking you to say it, not just to be funny or cute, but faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And as we speak the word of God, death and life are in the power of the tongue. And God releases his power when we believe the word and speak the word. There's affirmation. There's the power of the word of God. All right? And so, he said, the Lord, I'll skip through some of the verses. You can note them and read them as you get home today or in Sunday school. And I'm sure your Sunday school teacher's got a lesson. But he said, but we which are alive and remain, he's speaking to the church, we which are alive and remain should not go before them which are asleep. The cemetery, those loved ones have gone on before us. You know, like Kathy Yarbrough, who just went to be with the Lord. Like Marie White, who just went to be with the Lord. Like Mary Tucker, who just went to be with the Lord. Like Lee Moss, who just went to be with the Lord. Like Lynn, just went to be with the Lord. Yeah, I'm talking about, we which are alive and remain will not go before them which are asleep. For the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. And then the dead in Christ are going to rise first. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. That's those that are going on. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Those of us that are alive and remain will be caught up. I love that word, caught up. There's that rapio, that harpazo, a Latin word. We'll be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you? Ready or not, Jesus is coming. Ready or not, Jesus is coming. You need to get ready. You need to get ready. Yes. Well, how do I get ready? By watching, by working, by witnessing, by worshiping. How do we get ready? Well, can I remind you of something? You know the purposes of understanding? Let me just get some practical application right here, okay? You know what's going to happen after the rapture? The judgment seat of Christ. We are going to have to appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready to answer how you've lived on earth? That's why this message is so practical. Because we will be held accountable how we live every day. And specifically how we've exercised the gifts that God's given us. Where? At the Bema judgment. At the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul alluded to that. Let every one of us appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Tell me, how are you going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ? Well, God, I could have done more. God, I was real busy. God, I really meant to do more. And Lord, I know you did gift me. And you know, Lord, how many believe eternity is a long time? See, we're so short-sighted. We've got to get out of our short-sightedness and start seeing the long-term vision of the eternal life and the hereafter, because what we do now will determine how we spend the hereafter. It really will, and it really does. You know, there was a rich man one time in the Bible that said all he was concerned about is the here and now. I think I'll tear down my barns and build bigger barns. Nothing wrong with having barns. Somebody say amen. Nothing wrong with having barns. Nothing wrong with that. But to think that this life is it is a terrible mistake. Jesus said, you did good by building your bigger barns. Did he say that? I said, did he say that? How many believe he said that? How many believe he didn't say that? How many don't care? He didn't say that. He said, you fool. You fool. You fool. Fool! That's what he said. I'm just telling you what he said. You fool! This night thy soul should be required of thee. In other words, you're going to die and go to a place where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Well, that's pretty serious language, isn't it? Are you ready for the rapture? Are you ready for living the right kind of life? Are you living right now? You say, oh, preacher, you preachers always... I'm telling you, one day you're going to look back. One day you're going to say, man, I sure am glad that that I was challenged in my Christian life not to, you know, just get curled up on the couch and you know, just get kind of, you know, really just lazy Christian. There's a lot of lazy Christians today. Can I get an amen? There's a lot of lazy Christians today. Man, some could do mountain work. Well, they could be doing great things for God. But because of, for various reasons, and I understand times we go through seasons of our life. I understand sometimes we're put aside for a while. I understand sometimes we're put on hold for a while. But it's during those times that God is molding us. It's during those times that God is preparing us for something else. Don't miss that. Don't miss that. It's those times when Joseph is down in jail that he don't understand why he's going through what he's going through. But God said, I got a plan. And God's telling him, I've got a purpose for you, Joseph. You're not ready now for what I've got for you down the road. But if you can persevere, Job, I know you've got all hell breaking loose and the devil's wrecked your home, but Job, hang in there because I'll bless you at the latter end more than the beginning. And if we could just hear a word from God today, I think it will keep us motivated. God's not finished with you yet. I said, God's not finished with you yet. All right. Have you ever heard of a man by the name of, now this is a trick. Baseball players know what I'm doing. What do you do when you do the ball like that? Not like this, but like that. It's a curveball. I'm throwing you a curveball. You ever heard of a man named Harry Truman? How many of y'all have heard of Harry Truman? I'm not talking about President Harry Truman. That's the curve. That's the curve. Tell you about another man. His name is Harry Truman. And you know what? This rapture will take place. Here he is right here. You ever heard of this Harry Truman? The year? 1980. The date? May the 18th. The occasion, the setting? Let's see, Washington. The problem? Mount St. Helens. The event? An eruption of Mount St. Helens. Harry Truman, this man in the picture, had 16 cats. Sister Becky, you just think you got a lot of cats. How many do you have, by the way? You can tell I need some more glasses. How many believe 7 cats are a lot of cats to have and feed? Come on, somebody say amen. How many believe you got 7 cats and you don't have a lot of rats? This man had 16 cats. 16 cats. You know what he said? He said, Harry Truman, Mount St. Helens is about to erupt. Get out of here. Much like Hurricane Florence, you know, evacuate. I ain't going nowhere. Really? You better go. It's a warning. Leave. Mount St. Helens could erupt any moment. Leave. I ain't going nowhere. Me and my cats are staying right here. We ain't going anywhere. That infamous day of May the 18th, 1980, Mount St. Helens erupted. And that lava rolled down the mountainside, and Harry Truman and all of his 16 cats were covered up with 150 feet of volcanic ashes. Why? I ain't going nowhere. Ain't nobody gonna tell me what to do. And that's the attitude of a lot of people out there right now. Jesus is coming again, and you gotta be born again. And prepare to meet thy God. And there's people out there said, I ain't going to do it. I'm going to do what I want to do. You Christians, you preacher, y'all aren't going to tell me what to do. And we're telling you in love, you better repent. You better turn. There's time to get right with God before the judgment of God comes. Yes, God's a God of love, but listen, he's a God of judgment too. And one day, holy God's going to rise and his enemies are going to be scattered. I know we don't like to hear judgment messages. There's too much sugarcoat preaching today anyway, but it's in the Bible. We need to prepare to meet God. See, if all we do is focus on the love of God and never talk about the holiness of God, and the judgment of God, and the righteousness of God, we've got a false impression of who God is. I can't hear you. I said, I can't hear you. Well, anyway, when's this event going to happen? Any moment. Nothing, I don't believe needs to take place before that event takes place. Will you take the heed of God today? Will you listen to what the Lord is saying? Two, why is there going to be the great terrible tribulation? What's going to go on with the great terrible tribulation? Notice, seven seals, seven trumpets, and seven vials. It begins in chapter 6 of the book of Revelation. It consummates and concludes there in the book of Revelation, chapter number 16. Why the tribulation? I don't have time to tell you all about the tribulation, but you need to study it yourself. And you need to know that there's going to come a time after the Lord comes back again. And by the way, God's time clock's going to start ticking. You know when? When the Antichrist confirms a covenant with Israel. Where do you get that, Pastor? I'm glad you asked. Daniel chapter 9, verse 27. He shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. That's 7 years. How do I know that? Because Daniel saw 490 years, 70 weeks in Daniel 9, 24. And he saw the 49 weeks where they'd rebuild the temple. And he saw the 62 weeks, which is 434 years, plus 49 equals 483 years. 483 minus 490 equals what? Seven. 7 years left on God's prophetic calendar. I know I went through that fast. Get the tape. You can listen to it more and study it more out yourself. I wish I had an hour and a half to talk about these things. My time is so limited. Oh, listen. But I'm telling you this, that God Almighty is going to judge. That's the bad news. But wait a minute, there's some good news. Yes, there's some good news. The bad news is that God is going to judge in cataclysmic events. The sun, the moon, the stars, even the sea will turn to blood. And 1/3 of the trees will be burned up and the sea creatures. And oh my, it'll be a catastrophic event. Nothing would even equate to what we're talking about during the tribulation. People who thought they didn't need God in their life, and people who are religious but not have a relationship with God, who had a form of godliness, they'll die, and they'll be judged by God. And the Antichrist is going to cause many to receive a mark in their right hand or forehead. No man might buy or sell, according to Revelation chapter 13, verses 16 through 18. That's the bad news. How many want some good news? The good news. You know what God's going to do at that time? The gospel is going to be shared. What is the gospel? Christ died for our sins, was buried, the third day rose again. What's the good news? If you read Revelation chapter 7 and Revelation chapter 14, that's 10, 14, 7 and 14, you'd find out there'd be going to be how many? 144,000 supernaturally sealed by Almighty God. And these are not going to be Jehovah's Witnesses. Sorry. But these will be out of the 12 tribes of Israel. By the way, we studied in our class on Wednesday night. You know what was last week in Israel as they were celebrating? Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, beginning of the Jewish feast. You can read your Bible and find all this information. You know where? In the book of Leviticus. You know what chapter? 23. And you can read about all the seven feasts of Jewish feasts, both in the spring and in the fall. You need to know that. Why? Because things, for example, Yom Kippur is going to be this coming week, the Day of Atonement. You can read about that, by the way, in Leviticus 16. All this ties in with Scripture. And then, of course, the last fall feast will be the Feast of Tabernacles, otherwise known as Sukkot. It's listed, too, in the book of Leviticus. How many can name the seven feasts, Jewish feasts? You need to be able to name the seven Jewish feasts as a Christian. Why? Because you might be able to opportunity to have a time to witness to a Jew. That's why you need to know it. Right. This isn't just information without application. This is information with application to be a witness. Don't you want to witness? I said, don't you want to witness? I said, don't you want to share your faith? If you're saved, you do. You can't help it. I can't help but to go and tell. I can't help. John and Peter said, man, we might not have a whole lot of this and that, but we've been with Jesus and we can't help, but we've got to go and tell the good news. There'll be two witnesses. Revelation chapter 11. Remember the two witnesses? Many believe to be in the power of Enoch and Elijah. Why? Because Enoch and Elijah didn't die. That is, here on earth, Enoch was translated. He walked with God, and God took him on. Genesis chapter 5. On the other hand, Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind chariot of fire, 2 Kings chapter 2. And so, whether it's in the power or spirit of them, and some even say Moses, it doesn't matter. The point is, God's going to have his witnesses, and they'll be slain in the street, and you'll read about it in Revelation chapter number 11. But God will resurrect them from the dead. The good news is God's gospel is still powerful. God's gospel that Jesus died for our sins, was buried, the third day rose again, and wait a minute, he's coming again. That's the gospel. It's still the power of God. I don't know anything else that could change a drunkard and make him a child of God. I don't know anything else that'll take what we were talking about, homosexuals or lesbians or whatever type of lifestyle, and what it'll do. It'll take somebody like me, and though I don't deserve it, God is good to clean us up. He don't rub our sin in. Thank God he rubs it out with his blood. Woo! I'm about to throw this. No, I don't need to throw that. I need to get this. Glory! Woo! Jesus is alive! Woo! Thank you, Lord, for saving me! And the church said, man, there ought to be some shouting here. You don't deserve it. I said, you don't deserve it. I said, you ought to go to hell. If God had his way with us, he couldn't tolerate us one iota of a moment outside the blood of Jesus. It's the blood whereby God says, I'm not going to throw their soul in hell, but I'm going to forgive them. Hallelujah for Jesus. It's hard to get a little happy, right? I bet some of you got happy yesterday when your ball team was playing. It's getting quiet in here. I can't hear you. We ought to get happy in the church. Come on now. Now, if you're a dead Christian, I don't expect you to get happy. But if you're alive, buddy, what's in you has got to come out. I heard about one man had a heart attack in the church. They came in and they took out four rows before they found the right man. God help us. Many are called and few are chosen. Many are cold and a few are frozen. Listen, I've sat where you're sat. I know you're having a hard time. I know that life is handed you a lemon, but you can make lemonade out of it. You can either pout or you can shout. You can whine or you can shine. And you got the choice. And no matter what's going on, I'm telling you, if you praise the Lord anyway, if you thank God anyway, you'll see God begin to break in your life. See, that's the real test, is the devil won't shut you up. I can praise God. I don't care what the preacher says. I don't care what anybody else says. I'm just going to sit here. I've been there, man. I know what I'm talking about. And there I am right now. There are times when I don't feel like praising the Lord. But God comes and says, son, if you don't learn to praise me, them rocks out there are going to learn to praise me. The good news is like that little boy. Speaking of ball game, I love ball, but I love Jesus more than ball. Anyway, the little boy's playing baseball. He's out in the field. His team is getting whooped. That's a good Jasper County term, isn't it? Whooped. Man, they get whooped. Score 17 to nothing. Now the boy's out there in the field. Come on, man. He's playing out there in center field. Hey, it's all right, buddy. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. It's all right. Don't worry about it. Come on, team. Come on, team. Come on, team. Come on, team. It's all right. We're going to get him. We're going to get him. Somebody in the stand says, man, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Talking to that boy that's out there in center field. He's saying, we get him with. And they said, are you crazy? Look at the scoreboard. Y'all are being whooped 17 to nothing. The boy said, come on, man. We can do it. We can do it. He said, yeah, I know it, but we hadn't even gone into bat yet. I'm going to tell you something. Brother and sister, listen to me. The devil might be having heyday right now, but we ain't gone to bat yet. I can't hear you. Jesus, buddy, he is almighty. John said, I saw heaven open. Behold, a white horse. He that sat on him is called faithful and true. And in righteousness, he doth judge and make war. His eyes are a flame of fire. On his head are many crowns. He hath a vesture dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And I saw the armies which are in heaven. That's us. I still got time, right? I got a little bit more time. I saw the armies in heaven which followed us, and clothed in white horses, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword that he should smite the nations. He that treads upon the winepress of the fierceness of the wrath of Almighty God. How many of y'all ever had a dog? You ever had a dog? I used to have a dog. You ever had a dog? I used to have a dog. And you know what dog? It was a Doberman Pinscher. And I had a lease for that dog. How many know Doberman Pinscher's a pretty strong dog? Man, I put that dog on a lease. Buddy, that dog, he would just about jerk that lease out of my hand. Man, he was strong. I'd have to say, wait a minute, you can't. Now, y'all, animal lovers, y'all listen to me. I love my dog. I don't want him to run out in the street and get run over. That's why I got him on a leash, you understand? And he'd jerk that leash, try to jerk it out of my hand. Finally, I said, man, either he's going to win or I'm going to win. I just had to jerk it. Finally, he learned he'd choke himself if he didn't give in and know that I was in control. How many believe the devil's jerking on the leash? The devil's jerking on the leash right now. It looks like he's in control. God says, no, you're on a leash, buddy. And when I jerk the leash, you've got to do what I tell you to do. I'm telling you this. There's good news. Yes. Hey, the Lord said. But wait a minute. I just skipped fast forward. Do you know what happened? Hurricane Camille. The year was 1969. How many of y'all remember Hurricane Camille? Mississippi was the state. There was a group of partiers on these apartments. They were partying as Hurricane Camille was making its way to the coastline, 250 feet from the coastline. And Sheriff Jerry came out and said, y'all need to evacuate the area. Hurricane Camille is coming this way. Evacuate the area. Well, they were sitting up there laughing and partying and said, we ain't going nowhere. We're having a party. We're going to have a hurricane party. And we don't care what you say or anybody else says. We're staying. If you're going to try to get us to leave, you're going to have to lock us up and get us to leave. He shook his head. Drove off shortly thereafter. Winds of 205 miles an hour. Boom! Hit that shore. The rain was like bullets. The surf was between 22 and 28 feet in height. You can see before and after the apartments. It swept them away. Why? Because they didn't listen. Didn't take heed. They didn't listen. Are you listening to God? Are y'all listening to me today? Look up here just a minute. Everybody look up here. Are you listening to God today? Some of you may be wanting to turn a deaf ear. I know where you're at. But I want you to look up here at this picture. Please look up here. God's trying to warn you. God's saying if you will do right and live right and follow me, you'll be blessed, but if you don't, you can expect the judgment of God to fall. Y'all believe that? Y'all don't look at me like I'm crazy. You Christians know what I'm talking about. I need some help here, folks, okay? Y'all look at me like, Pastor, I wish you wouldn't say that. Why not? Somebody needs to. It's about high time we do. And some of you need to do what I'm telling you about. You're heading in the wrong direction. I love you, but I got to tell you that. If I didn't tell you that, I wouldn't love you. You're heading the wrong direction. You think you're doing right, but you're really heading the wrong direction. And God said, I'm trying to warn you today. Stop in the direction you're going. I've got to close. I'm not going to get through with my message, but that's all right. I heard about some Christians standing by the roadside. They had big signs. As the cars were riding by, stop! Turn around! Stop! Turn around! Or perish! Perish! Stop! And some of you today need to stop some of that stuff you've been doing. You know it's not becoming of a Christian. I don't know what it, you know what it is. Stop! Turn around! Perish. One car rode by. They heard crash, splash. Another car, stop, turn around and perish. Oh, Christian, get out of the way, you stupid idiots. Get out of our way. We don't want to hear your little religious fanatic signs. Stop or perish or get out of the way. that fly by them cussing at them and saying all kind of stuff that kaplash. Finally, one Christian looked at the other one and said, "You think we need to write on here, bridge out?" Well, what about it today? You got somebody you need to pray for today? Lovingly warn them, stop, turn around. Maybe we need to reprioritize our life. Let's stand together, can we?